Species.
Unite.
Species.
Unite.
But what the tour guide told us was that eventually, as they grew, they now have their own octopus catchers. They called them the Octopus Whispers. And they said that these people know exactly where the octopuses are going to be and when. So they know how to go get them and bring them back to the facility.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth Novogratz. This is Species Unite. We have a favor to ask. If you like today's episode and you have a spare minute, could you please rate and review Species Unite on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts? It really helps people to find the show. In October of last year, Laura Lee Cascada published an investigation into the Kanaloa Octopus Farm on the Big Island in Hawaii. The Kanaloa Octopus Farm was capturing wild day Hawaiian octopuses and keeping them in these tiny, isolated tanks, while also conducting breeding experiments. All of this was done under the guise of conservation. What made it even more bizarre was that they were also a tourist attraction. People could pay to come to the octopus farm and see and touch and pet the octopuses in these tiny tanks. So it was like an octopus petting zoo / breeding farm. What they were really doing was trying to figure out how to breed these octopuses, which is really difficult to do in captivity. But it's the first step to U.S. octopus factory farming. In January, they received a cease and desist letter because they didn't have the required permits for the above. So for the moment, their octopus program is temporarily shut down. We need to keep it shut down, and we need to ban octopus farming in this country before it really starts. The world's first octopus factory farm is set to open in the Canary Islands this year, adding to the very long list of cruel and abusive industries across the planet. Let's not let that happen here as well. I asked Laura to come on to talk about her investigation and what all this really means for octopuses and for the future of farming them for food. Hi, Laura. Thank you so much for being here today.
I'm so excited to be here. Thank you.
Why don't you just say who you are, what you do?
My name's Laura Cascada. I work as the campaigns director for the Better Food Foundation. And I'm a writer and I tell stories about animals, true stories, to help readers really connect with their inner lives and just get to know species they're not really familiar with. And that can include like all the ups and downs. So, you know, the silly things, the funny things, but also some of the really harrowing and hard things. I really love sea animals, and that led me to doing an investigation of the octopus farm in Hawaii to help people see a little bit more about the inner lives of octopuses and how they're being abused.
I'm pretty sure I never heard of this until your stuff came my way, right? Nobody was really talking about this, were they? The farm in Hawaii.
A little bit. There's been definitely a huge amount of attention on octopus farming more broadly because there is an impending massive octopus factory farm in the Canary Islands. And I think the farm in Hawaii had been noticed a little bit as sort of a budding new thing in the U.S. because the U.S. doesn't have any history with octopus farming. But it has mostly flown under the radar, I think, because it is small and it paints itself as a kind of tourist adventure stop, a petting zoo. So I think they had largely escaped most of the scrutiny.
I'd heard of the Canary Islands and we've been fighting against it, like a lot of people are. But this Hawaii farm, the whole thing is so crazy. I want to know how you got into this. Why did you decide to do this investigation?
My parents actually live in Hawaii. They live on the Big Island, and I'm there a lot. My dad recently was very sick. He's doing a lot better now, but I spent a lot of the last couple of years over on the Big Island. It's kind of like a second home to me at this point. I didn't even realize for a lot of the time that they've been living there that this farm was even there. And I think I heard about it just by chance reading about octopuses and learning that it was literally right in their backyard almost. And I felt like I had to do something. I was over there a lot already. And the investigative skills that I have from my job and having worked on so many different animal agriculture issues and processing footage from investigations and, you know, making legal cases and notifying the press and all of those things, I could really put those to use.
Tell me the story step by step of what it was like to go to the octopus farm. Like, what was the first thing you saw when you approached it?
The octopus farm is located on a part of the island that's sort of hidden back. It looks like an industrial park. It's near the water, and it's actually part of the state's natural energy lab. So the state is pulling up deep ocean water and supplying it to several different facilities in that area for various purposes. Some of them are supplying algae, so pretty harmless facilities. But then there are others like the octopus farm that are using the water to catch and breed octopuses. And there's several others there too. There's a big fish and lobster selling place. There's an abalone farm. There's also a seahorse farm. So there's definitely a lot of aquaculture type activities going on back there. So I knew that I probably wasn't going to like the place as I was going in. I had looked at their website in advance and read a bunch of articles about them. They talked a lot about their role as being for conservation of octopuses, talking about how octopuses are overfished, and especially in the Pacific Ocean, and that they were trying to solve this problem and they were doing research. But it was very, very vague, all of the information online. And it was also very conflicting. Like, they call themselves Kanaloa Octopus Farm, but they definitely paint a narrative in the press of not being a farm. So I really didn't know what to expect. I thought it might look a little like an aquarium because they offer these tours to the public and that's how they get all their money. So you pay a small fee, you go in and you're, you know, basically on a tour. And so I think I just expected it to be like a tour of an aquarium, but just solely octopuses going into it.
I mean, the photos look like it's a petting zoo for octopuses. Everyone's got their hands in the buckets with the octopuses. It's really creepy.
It was a lot smaller than I expected. They only had about 20 tanks, at least in the publicly accessible area. And they were just these white square cube-shaped tanks with an octopus in each. And they were all lined by the sort of astroturf material around the top edges, because every time the lids are removed, they start trying to climb out. And so their little arms would be climbing up the tanks and the tour guide would walk around kind of putting the arms back in and telling us to put the arms back in. And if they got, I guess, too eager to get out, their lid would go back on. And I think the astroturf was just there to kind of keep, to make it spiky, to keep it uncomfortable for them to get their arms out. But I don't think it was successful. I heard her talking about how one of them had gotten out a previous day before our tour. So they're definitely very like angsty and don't want to be in those little tanks.
I mean, to get the tourists there and to get the public there, how are they doing that?
They advertise it as being a place, basically a petting zoo. So basically being a place where you can go and interact with octopuses. I think the public is already really intrigued by octopuses, especially after seeing my octopus teacher and really developing a bond with this octopus they saw on the film. And so I think tourists really want that hands-on experience and to be able to touch them. And they also tell tourists that this money is helping fund their conservation efforts. So it makes the tourists feel like this isn't just a petting zoo. It's a petting zoo where we're also contributing to a great cause of conserving octopuses. And we get to experience them in real life. And I think when you go to Hawaii, people are looking for lots of ways to interact with nature there. It's so known for that, especially the Big Island. And you aren't allowed to touch sea turtles. You aren't allowed to touch monk seals for good reasons. So an experience that puts you right up close with a species, I think, is really attractive to people. And they just don't really know the facility is hiding what's really going on.
That's kind of like the great irony with so many of these like tourist animal places that exploit animals and abuse animals, they attract people who really love animals. They just don't know that this is not really very loving. They don't have the information. I'm sure octopus haters weren't going there. It's people who are really interested. Tell me about where they get their octopus and what they told you, because that's also, there's a lot of really confusing things about this guy's story, the owner.
They've definitely said a lot of conflicting things publicly, but what we were told that I caught on video, the tour guide told us that at first they were getting octopuses from fishermen who would go out and have like a spare octopus they had caught and didn't want for whatever reasons. And they were just kind of like getting the discarded octopuses. So I think that's the narrative they've kind of continued to tell. They've framed themselves as a rescue place, that these octopuses would not have survived in the wild and they're helping them out. But what the tour guide told us was that eventually, as they grew, they now have their own octopus catchers. They called them the octopus whisperers. And they said that these people know exactly where the octopuses are going to be and when. So they know how to go get them and bring them back to the facility.
What are they claiming the conservation work they're doing is?
Their main goal there has been to breed Hawaiian day octopuses. So far, nobody has been able to raise this particular species in captivity from, you know, birth to adulthood. The Canary Islands people are working with a different species of octopus that they claim they've already cracked breeding around, and that's why they can start up this factory farm. But the Hawaiian day octopus, nobody has successfully done that. And so this facility, their goal was to figure out how to successfully breed the octopuses in captivity so that they could supply this research to places that are struggling with octopus population issues, places where there's overfishing. They could supply this research and basically enable those places, a lot of countries over in Asia and other places in the Pacific where there's so much octopus fishing. Their goal was allegedly to offer this technology research to them so that they could rely on farming instead of catching the octopuses in the wild and therefore alleviate the strain on wild populations.
This is kind of the gateway to U.S. octopus factory farming, right?
Yeah. So in the 2019 meeting notes that I found from the Natural Energy Lab of Hawaii, I found their expansion proposal. And in that was where they were talking about scaling up to provide octopuses for restaurants, the ink from the octopuses for various products, and also for ornamental trade. So like the aquarium industry. I think that because of all the scrutiny that's been thrown their way, they've really sort of reversed course on this messaging and claimed that they don't see any path for octopus farming for them. So I don't know if they've really changed their plans or if they're just trying to dodge all of this conflict. I have seen that they plan to change their name to remove the word farm so that they're not seen as a farm anymore. But all of this feels like they're trying to escape criticism and just try to play this like innocent middleman role of just understanding the breeding so that they can alleviate the pressures that humans have put on octopus populations when really they're a key cog in this industrial agriculture machine. And if they were successful, their research could, whether or not they themselves end up selling these octopuses, could lead to great harms.
Why is it so hard to breed these guys, like in captivity?
They just need such specific parameters as they're growing, water temperature, feed. There's a whole research arm of this facility that's been working on which types of food to rear. So not only are they rearing the octopuses, but they also have hermit crabs that they were using to provide feed for these octopus babies. And they've been experimenting with numerous different foods. And so far, at least in 2022, when I visited, they had only gotten the babies to live up to 13 days. And this is after being in operation for 7 years. So the hundreds of octopuses who they had caught from the wild and put into these breeding experiments where every time, you know, octopuses breed, they die shortly thereafter. So each time it's fatal, only to have the babies live 13 days is pretty not, that's a pretty bleak, you know, success rate. And I think a sign that these beings shouldn't be in captivity and cannot survive in captivity, and especially cannot be farmed at, you know, the kind of scale that that could eventually lead to.
Aside from the fact that it's idiotic that there's an octopus petting zoo going on, the bigger worry is if they start actually breeding them. And then all of a sudden we have octopus factory farms in this country. For people who don't know, and I'm sure a lot of people are not aware, the first ever octopus factory farm is opening this year in the Canary Islands, which is like just devastating, one more species being factory farmed. Octopus are such an intelligent species that it's like horrific. And the world's kind of fallen in love with them in the past few years. Hopefully we have this one in the Canary Island and it fails, is I think what everybody's hoping who's on the side of octopuses. So this place is shut down for the moment. They got a cease and desist letter, right? The Hawaii place. Why did they shut them down? And how long is this going to keep them shut down?
I don't think anyone knows how long the shutdown will be. I'm hoping that more issues keep popping up and with additional pressure that it would be permanent. But the shutdown was only because the facility didn't have the necessary permits to even have wild caught octopuses in captivity. And so they received the cease and desist order telling them that they needed permits to have octopuses who were under 1 pound, which would be any of the babies that they might have currently had, as well as any octopuses who were caught from offshore. And in the press, they responded that they didn't have any wild caught octopuses, which was very strange because that was the only way they were acquiring these octopuses. They obviously hadn't bred them to live past 13 days, at least in 2022. And they had told us on our tour documented that they were catching them offshore. So I think that they've said that they're complying and shutting down to get those permits. And I'm going to be continuing to pursue FOIAs and putting in requests to track this and continue to put pressure on the state. But as of right now, they've actually shifted to bobtail squids, who were unfortunately also already being bred and sold by this facility. That wasn't something that they showed us on the tour. It wasn't something they talked about, but I found out later only through really digging through government records that they had already made some profits from their sale of bobtail squids. And they also had noted that if they were to scale up that endeavor, that they would be the only like mass commercial producer of bobtail squids in the world. So that part of the facility must have been, you know, out of range for the tourists to see, but is definitely still a concern, especially if they don't resume their octopus work and sort of get out of the spotlight, but are continuing to exploit the squids, who are obviously very similar to octopuses. They're both cephalopods and they're also sentient and intelligent beings.
And are bobtail squid, they're just easier to raise and breed? Is that?
That's my understanding, is just that they've had a way easier time keeping them in captivity. But it's unfortunate, right? Because I don't think the public has as much empathy for squids as they do octopuses, just because squids haven't been the star of an Oscar-winning film. But really, their sentience and their intelligence and their curiosity is all quite similar. So I think we should also be really concerned about a budding squid factory farm as well.
It's really crazy that a little PR like that, like the my octopus teacher, I mean, it's great. Every time this happens for an animal, it's great because it at least changes some people. I've met so many people who used to eat octopus and don't anymore because of that and because of a few books that came out during the same time frame. It's awesome. But it is crazy that that's how we roll as humans, that, you know, we see a cute movie and all of a sudden we want to protect that animal, but not the one next door. For people who don't know or didn't see My Octopus Teacher, will you talk a little bit about like why they are so smart? And I mean, obviously they're all important, but like the reason so many people are attracted to them now.
Yeah, definitely. So My Octopus Teacher actually was a really emotional ride for me. And I think many people. It opened my eyes to how ingenious they are at just being able to navigate their surroundings and solve problems in real time. There was a moment where this octopus was being chased by a shark, and it seemed like the end of her. But she was able to use various maneuvers, hiding in crevices, climbing over onto the shark's back, climbing out of the water even to escape. And, you know, this has been seen also in captivity where octopuses are confined in, you know, marine parks, aquariums, and will actually, despite people's best efforts to contain them, will find the tiniest hole to climb out of, will try to free themselves, will sometimes go into other tanks to seek food. They're just so difficult to contain because they want to be wild and to be navigating their surroundings. I know that there's also been some anecdotes that you kind of think are funny in the moment, but you realize are really examples of their psychological suffering in captivity. One of which I read about was that an octopus who really didn't like a certain captor at her aquarium where she was living was actually able to identify that person by how they looked. And every time that person went by her tank, she would spray water at them and nobody else. So they're just so capable of psychological suffering. And I think that that's something we often overlook when we talk about factory farming. We talk a lot about, you know, chicks' beaks being cut off or pigs' tails being cut off. And that is obviously extreme, painful suffering. And then when we think about octopuses, they sort of give us a new ability to think about even just the effects of confinement, because it's so evident in them. And it's true for all animals who are kept in confinement, but I think it's easier to see in octopuses because they strive so much for freedom and they're so ingenious. And, you know, none of us would want to be kept in a tiny tank, and they definitely don't want to be either.
It's super sad, and it's really disturbing that we're here. Let's go back to the Canary Islands for a second. This factory farm for octopus, what's the company called?
Nueva Pesca Nova. They claim that they have cracked the common octopus life cycle as of several years ago, I believe. That's a different species, so I don't know, you know, why they were more successful than the folks over in Hawaii. But they do aim to produce, I believe, about 3,000 tons of octopus meat, which would be around 300,000 individual octopuses each year. So over several years, this could be millions of octopuses. And it's definitely an unprecedented amount of suffering that we've never had the factory farming complex venture into the species before.
Not only do we need this one not to work, but we don't want more popping up.
There are a lot of groups working now to still trying to stop the Canary Islands facility, trying to stop the permits from coming through, and also to get new bans of either octopus farming or of the import of octopus products from farms. I know in Washington state, there's one pending right now to ban octopus farming. And these would be really symbolic to just kind of raise the profile of this initiative and show that different places around the world are not going to accept this new industry from taking root.
That's kind of like everything else. It feels like there's more vegans, more people care about animals, the more people are anti-factory farming, but global meat consumption keeps going up. And it's the same with octopus. More people are eating octopus now than were 10 years ago, even though so many people are aware of their sentience and their intelligence and are anti it. It's just, there's still a huge demand for it.
I think one of the reasons that the meat industry has been so successful at, you know, increasing their sales despite increased public consciousness is kind of like what the Hawaiian facility is doing, is this idea of humane washing or greenwashing, both painting the products that they're producing as more humane, more eco-friendly, because the public does care. They're very concerned about the treatment of animals killed for food and other products. They're also concerned with the environment. But if they can be convinced by these big companies that the products they're producing are humane and are eco-friendly, then they feel better about purchasing them. And instead of opting out, they'll purchase them. And I think the Hawaiian example was one small case of that, where tourists who really love octopuses now were like so encouraged to go to this place and play with the octopuses and felt like it was for a good cause, but didn't realize that their money was going toward helping create factory farming. And I think if they knew that, if that was exposed, they wouldn't support it.
It's a lot of good people who think they're doing the right thing.
And yeah. I know that humane washing is just probably one of the biggest threats we have to kind of creating momentum against animal farming right now, because they're so effective and so rich and politically powerful to be able to sort of dominate the narrative and convince consumers that these products are more humane than they really are.
Thank you, Laura. This was great.
Thank you. Really appreciate it.
To learn more about Laura, the Every Animal Project, and the Better Food Foundation, go to our website, speciesunite.com. We'll have links to everything. We are on Facebook and Instagram at Species Unite. If you have a spare moment and could do us a favor, please subscribe, rate, review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. It really helps people find the show. If you'd like to support the podcast, we'd greatly appreciate it. Go to our website, speciesunite.com, and click donate. I would like to thank everyone at Species Unite, including Gary Knutson, Caitlin Pierce, Amy Jones, Paul Healy, Santina Polke, and Anna Kallner, who wrote and performed today's music. Thank you for listening. Have a wonderful day.